rest of the story. Folks in and around Amherst, Massachusetts, called her the Woman in White. She was small, like a wren, with large eyes, bold dark hair. Her voice was soft, frightened, breathless, almost childlike. She lived in the big red brick house at 208 Main Street all her life. She wore only white. In fierce seclusion, she drew the walls of her home round her like a coverlet. Save the few who knew, her secret was safe. Like many who purposely lead their lives apart from the world, this woman in white had become a topic of neighborhood talk. What did she do all day alone in that big brick house on Main Street? Well, the truth is, her life was as uneventful as the speculation about it. She was the daughter of a prominent lawyer, bound for the United States Congress. She was better educated than most young ladies of the 19th century. She was remembered by her schoolmates for a quick wit and for her comic valentines. By her mid-20s, most of her childhood friends had married and left town. And it was then that she drifted imperceptibly into a habit of seclusion. Accompanied only by her little dog, she often strolled the garden in back of her parents' home at twilight. To those who watched at a distance, this was apparently her greatest pleasure. Flowers and sunsets and solitude. The gentle, quiet, inward existence of the woman in white. With her father's death and her mother's prolonged illness, her uneasiness with strangers became a fear, and her fear became phobic. Then her mother died, and she was entirely alone, left to her secret self. The years passed. Glimpses of the woman in white were fewer and further between. In May of 1886, the woman in white followed her beloved parents into the hereafter. No longer would schoolboys stop outside the big brick house on Main and dare each other to knock on the door. No more would the reclusive lady's face be seen through the curtain lace, nor her silhouette in the garden at sundown. Discovered among her personal effects and private papers were these handwritten words: "I'm nobody. Who are you? Are you nobody too?" But the woman in white, a nobody, all her life long, would posthumously, forever, be somebody. For you see, in her private papers, written in the solitude of that room, guarded like a secret journal while she lived, comprised the myriad descriptions of life as she saw it, the tiny ecstasies, the candid intuitions, the speculations on the timeless mysteries of love and of death. With language stripped of superfluous words, she wrote for her own eyes only poems. She wrote 1,775 poems. That was the secret joy of the woman in white. The young lady irresistibly drawn into her own cryptic self, whose entirely uneventful life was spent in seclusion and yet culminated in the immortal art of Emily Dickinson. Now you know the rest of the story.